Here in the studio, and joining me is the Warren Rushi, the calf field specialist at South Dakota State University. Good morning, Warren.
Good morning, Chuck.
Well, I don't know, Warren, but guys are weaning, and they're not very happy about this weather.
No, this is just all the words I can describe aren't acceptable for radio, so it's just not good. But I guess if we can't be in the field, getting some calves weaned is probably the next best thing we can be doing.
So, Warren, would you bring them in? Would you hold off maybe giving them some vaccinations as you bring them in now if the weather's going to be like this?
That's a great question, and I don't know if I have the perfect answer to it. Some of it might depend on what their stress level is. A set of home-raised calves that you would think are getting on feed pretty well, that vaccination may not be that much a great additional stress. On the flip side is they've probably got some immunity that, we may not look at those as particularly high risk. I think you could make the case for waiting until they've got on feed, at least gotten over that initial balling stage. Ideally, we've gotten some pre-weaning vaccinations into them already so that we're not coming in completely bare. That'd be a great conversation to have, frankly, with your herd veterinarian, just to kind of weigh the pros and cons. And that's probably not something you ought to necessarily follow my advice on what you hear on the radio, but that is a concern in terms of what we're doing as far as added stress.
What's one of these times of year, Warren, is that you're going to have to be in touch with your vet, because if you need some antibiotics, you got to have that set and ready to go.
That's right. Yeah, if you need to, if we're going to be using some feed grade antibiotics, we need to have the VFDs in place. So we need to be having that conversation anyway. So the discussion on whether or not we're going to be getting some vaccinations in or not would be a great conversation to have at the same time.
Well, the way it looks is I think there's going to be probably a lot of weaning tried anyway right now, and I guess the thing is get that lot ready and keep it as stress free as possible.
That's right, and it's really a tough, I've been in that situation myself where you keep waiting for the weather to get better and it never really does, and then all of a sudden now you're November and we haven't got the calves weaned. So, this is one of those calls that's not necessarily easy. It really depends, too, on what we might have for some shelter or the ability to put some bedding out. If we've got some yards that are getting a little sloppy, or how much concrete we've got, all of those things enter into it.
And it's kind of tough right now letting those calves stay on those cows until November. You want to try to get some conditioning on those cows as well.
That's right. And what I've been observing driving around is, there's a lot of these pastures that are running out of gas. So, we've got, and because the weather hasn't been good, we haven't been able to get, there's been a little bit here on around the edges of some corn that's been taken out that I've seen that, people have fenced off and got some cows on, but it's not big acres. So, that cheap feed stuff we rely on isn't ready yet. Pastures are running out of gas. So my bias probably would be, I'd be weaning and crossing my fingers, being ready with a quick hook in terms of pulling calves, and have the VFDs in place, maybe throw some bedding out or do what I can from a cattle comfort standpoint. But, I worry a lot more about waiting longer and dealing with some much colder conditions while weaning and running the risk of pulling cows down farther than I need to.
And probably supplemental feed some of those cows here pretty soon?
Well, possibly, depending on, of course, on, if we're able to get them weaned off, and depending on what they've got for, to graze, their requirements drop off so much that they really don't need a lot. They go from, when they're lactating, maybe needing some diet that's around 10 to 12, maybe 13% protein down to 6 or 7. So, they don't need a lot. Their needs are pretty low once they have the calf off. So that's one of the reasons to at least consider going out and getting the calves in. The other part of all this is, as challenging as this weather is, and I know everyone's chomping at the bit to, get into the field, get some crop in, we all know once once this, you know, once we start getting some sun and drying out, it's going to be, you know, flat out race. And you know, I've seen it before. You know, and it's happened to me where the cattle don't get as much attention as they perhaps need because we got to get the crop in. So from that standpoint, getting the calves weaned now, while may not be ideal, we do at least have some time to pay attention to some things and head off some problems beforehand. Or if we try to squeeze it in during harvest, I think actually our risks of having some bad health outcomes go up, even if the weather's bad, simply because we just don't have as much time available to monitor the cattle.
Well, if we can get this corn off, we can put those cows out in the corn stalks, and that'd work.
A whole lot of problems would be solved. We can just get some sun and drier weather, wouldn't it?
We sure would. Well, Warren, let's talk about, you got the SDSU Extension Calf Discovery Program starting again this year, and we talked about it last year, but it's one that's becoming, the deadline's coming up. Let's talk about that again and how it works and what you're doing.
That's right. We're holding the Calf Value Discovery Program again this year. As you mentioned, the deadline on that's the 15th of October, and we can be a bit flexible, but we really need to know, just, you know, get an idea how many cattle are coming so we can start making some plans and so forth. But what that program is in a nutshell is it lets cow-calf producers bring us five or more steer calves. We'll put them on feed, collect all the performance data throughout the feeding period, and then we'll get also the really hard-to-get data, which is the carcass information. We'll collect marbling, quality grade, yield grade, ribeye, fat thickness, hot carcass weight, all of those things that drive carcass value, and then send that back to the producers. You know, our view is the really important part of that is that, you know, you get the farmers and ranchers that raise the calves. It really levels the playing field in terms of what they know about their cattle. In a lot of cases, the feedlot operators have a better idea perhaps of how their cattle are going to perform than the ranchers do. So this lets them get some idea in terms of, all right, our cattle will do X in terms of growth. We know those that little sample graded about this much, so that gives us some kind of idea on where our cattle sit in terms of the bigger picture and what we might need to focus on or how we might be able to present those cattle to buyers to hopefully get a little more money out of the paycheck.
Now, Warren, you said they get their information back on the carcass information. Do they get everything combined so they can see how they compare to some of the other people?
Well, we do give at least, you know, kind of a benchmark of how everything is. You know, we obviously pull the names off so that, you know, not everybody's going to see just how, you know, Joe Blow down the road, Cal did one way or the other. But we do try to give them an idea of, you know, where they're at relative to the rest. And what I tell people, too, is, you know, this isn't necessarily something you want to, you know, if one particular calf is a bit of a miss, that doesn't necessarily mean that cow's got to go, but it does give perhaps some idea of where you're at, especially if you've done this for a couple years in a row or depending on how many head you send us.
Now, do you sort them at all, Warren, according to weight, or you just kind of bring them in and let them run?
Well, on the incoming side, it depends on where they go to. We've got two locations available to us that we're planning on using. Vanderwall's over by Bruce have been doing this for us for a number of years. The cattle that go to that location get fed in one common pen. Last year, we sent cattle to the Southeast Farm in Beersford as well because we had, you know, more numbers because of this project plus some other research projects going on. In that case, what we would do is we would group them by owner and then by size within owner if you sent us enough head. So, you know, we try to keep the weights alike. And then on the marketing end of things, we do go through and we top everything. So we'll, in Vanderwall's or at Southeast, we'll start pulling cattle out as, you know, as we get, you know, shooting for about half an inch of back fat. I'd like to get them at 1,400 pounds or so on the steers or bigger. And then we'll start pulling cattle off as we think they need to fill out trucks and what we think might be, you know, their best endpoint. Try to avoid discounts as much as we can for folks, but we do more sorting on the back end than what we do on the front end.
Warren, what's the cost to participate?
You,
you're going to ask that. And so I got to look through the news release real quick here. I believe it is $20.
Yes, it is.
$20 for a registration cost. And that covers the cost of getting the camera data, some of the costs for us to go down and collect some of the data, and some of the miscellaneous things we might have to cover in terms of running the program. From the standpoint of, you know, feed bills and so forth, those are taken out of the final check, so there isn't they're not going to be getting a feed bill during the course of the feeding period. We pull that out of what we end up grossing on the cattle once we send them to Tyson.
So no yardage pay until the end, huh?
Right.
Okay. So Warren, when's the delivery dates? Now they sign up by October 15th, hopefully, but when's the delivery dates?
We're going to take cattle at the Vanderwall Yards by Bruce on November 7th and 8th. We do offer the option for the folks West River that want to deliver, that don't want to haul the cattle all the way across. They can deliver it to the Cottonwood Research Station on November 6th. Then at the Southeast Farm, we'll be taking calves in on November 13th and 14th. So we wanted to know about on the 15th, but, you know, if something we realize, especially in a fall like this where everything's going to be challenging, that if someone called us up a couple weeks after that deadline, we'd sure take a look at how much room we got and try to accommodate as best we can. That said, you know, if you know you're interested, we'd sure like to know about it sooner rather than later.
I got to ask, Warren, somebody's weaning their calves right now. Are they going to be able to do anything specific they have to do before they bring their calves there, or do they take care of that at the feedlot?
We will run everything through and get them give them a full round of vaccinations. I know and with a booster. And so for a lot of those calves, that's really a double or triple up. But what we're trying to do is make sure we've got, with all of those different sources, we want to really make sure we're covered from a health standpoint. All we really ask is that the steer calves are that castrated and healed, along with the same with dehorning. And we do like them in the range of 500 to 800 pounds. I can tell you that if we get farther outside of those ranges, that poses problems from a marketing standpoint. The cattle that are bigger, a lot of times they're perhaps past high noon by the time we start shipping cattle next May. Those light calves have a hard time getting those cattle heavy enough by the time we need to empty pens. The sweet spot on that seems to be those 580, 675-pound calves. Those seem to really work well. Some of those bigger ones, I think in some cases some people have had them on creep for a while, gotten them a little fleshy, and we don't necessarily always see the performance out of those high sevens as what we might out of a high six.
Well, Warren, we got to go, but thanks for joining us. If they want to contact, get in this program, they can call you.
They can call myself, or they can call Dr. Julie Walker. Her number is 688-5458, or you can get a hold of me at 688-5452.
All right.
Take care of you.
All right, Warren, thank you very much. Warm up these weather, and have a good weekend.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. And that's Warren Ruschi.